Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say Reaction Show. I promise no outrageous opinions or insane man of the match predictions. Assessments. I'm Eleanor McKinnon. Here we are. I'm predicting that Leo Hjelde will have an amazing game today. No. I'm Eleanor McCabe, and this week I'm joined by Mr. Richard. Fair play. Mr. Richard Easterbrook. Hello.
Hello. Hello. You're all right.
How are you? It's nice to see you again. Two pods in 1 week.
I know. You've had a streak of four pods now? Three pods. Four?
Three?
Two reactions, preview, and then another reaction.
Yeah, that is true. It's actually almost matching my Duolingo streak at the moment. Yeah,
now you get to keep the podcast. It's yours now.
What does that entail? What does that mean? What responsibility do I therefore have to take on? I'm not sure I need this in my life.
No.
Tell me off. It's obviously trade secrets. We can't discuss what.
We let you log into the podcast if you want.
But the match. We've just watched a match of football. It was It was interesting. I don't know. Sorry, that was
hearing fragments of conversation.
Yeah, so no. Very angry. Angry man who I think has been asked to leave his path. I don't know. Yeah. We could react to that.
Yes.
Maybe a bit more eventful than what happened on the pitch. There was lots of huffing and puffing. There seemed to be a little bit of quality there.
Yeah. But,
we can't fault us for trying, especially in the first half. We had a good few chances. Hit the bar three times.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, on any other day, bounce of the ball might have decided it, and obviously the conditions played a huge part, which made it fun.
I was personally really disappointed at half time when the men came out to collect the rubbish and they didn't play Benny Hill music and have them running around after it. They collected it really boringly. They just kind of stood on it and then picked it up. They didn't chase after any of it. But the rubbish did give it atmosphere, didn't it? It showed how windy it was down on the pitch. And I think that, I don't know about you, but in the first half, I definitely thought, oh, the wind's going to help us in the second half. Those ones that kind of went off the bar that maybe just needed that extra tip in. I thought, if we keep doing this in the second half, we're going to score. And I wasn't sat at half-time thinking we were going to go home with 1 point. With 1 point.
I thought when they either we or they won the toss and changed ends.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was to play with the wind behind them, but it didn't work. If they had made that decision, it didn't work for them because, we had the lion's share of the chances in the first half. When they got a goal kick in the first half, and it went straight out of play.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right, they're getting their eye in, but I don't think either goalkeeper dealt well with the conditions. With Patterson at the end, he played one into the stands, and I thought, you've been playing the game for 90 minutes and you surely know which way.
Yeah, you've adapted to it. It reminded me of, there was that away game in the League One season at Cambridge where it was ridiculously windy, and I think Hoffman was still in goal at that point, and Bailey Wright had to go up to him and be like, you cannot kick the ball high today. Yeah. It will not work. It needs to be low and straight ahead. And you almost felt like they needed a bit of that today, because it was just... it was going wherever it wanted, yeah. Really, when it was in the air.
A bit of the roof came off above us. Yeah, it was like a little service flap above the CCTV camera above us. Just, it was like moving, and then it just disappeared.
How much of the game did you watch? How much of the roof?
Getting pictures and stuff, just like one.
Taking a selfie, like putting your camera on the floor, taking selfies with it.
Yeah. No, that's all most of the game.
But it, one thing that I hope you did see, and one thing I'm absolutely buzzing about, and I really hope that when I watch it back, I'm not proven wrong on this, but I don't think I will be, Adji Elise. Lovely to see him back, and yeah. A massive, massive improvement on what we saw in that position in the first half, because he'd been on 5-6 minutes, and I think he'd done about 10 things that Hjelder couldn't dream of, effectively.
I don't like going in on individuals, but now we're getting the likes of Jack Clark and Patrick Roberts, and I was going to say Bradley Dack, but didn't see enough of him today. But
he could have scored. I was heartbroken for him.
There is a bit of quality there. It's just packed quite deep within a lot of weight, which you shouldn't expect from a professional footballer. But I guess that's what happens when you go into film Loose Women instead of training, you know. Elise looked like 100% better than what we had, and you can see that with Clark. Even though Clark wasn't fully at the races, you could tell there's a quality increase, and Roberts will get better. He wasn't terrible.
He was better than he was on Monday. Yeah. You could see an improvement, and I think for Roberts it was nice for him to have that bit of a run out today where he did seem improved, because I think it's fair to say he's a bit of a confidence player. If his confidence gets knocked, you do tend to see him to go on a bit of a form, but a bad run of form. But he seemed to pick his head up a bit today, and there were kind of glimmers of the Roberts we know rather than the Roberts we saw on Monday, which was really good to see, really.
Also, really good to see Chris Rigg kind of not looking out of place.
Yeah.
In that at all. He looked settled with it within that front, within that, the midfield three, behind Job, who seems to be a decent option now, centre forward.
What?
I think it's just the bounce of the ball never seemed to do well for him. You know, he had that header onto the bar, didn't he?
And it was I was frustrated for him today. Yeah. I'm not saying he was the best player on that pitch today, because I do think, there was that one that he decided to kind of take down instead of just throwing his whole body out and getting it over the line in the first half. And I think he had moments where I was frustrated at him, but he couldn't get anything from the ref today. That player could have dragged him to the floor and stamped on his face, and the ref would have just waved on play, because every single time we were trying to get the ball to Job, arms were around him, they were pulling him to the ground, they were pulling his shirt, and you have got to feel for the lad at that point. And it felt a bit like, and I don't like doing this, because obviously we haven't won, it's easy to blame the ref, but he wasn't great.
The thing is, he seemed to be terrible for both sides, but it was just a couple of basics, I'm pretty sure that was a penalty.
The
deals around us weren't that strong, but there weren't that many people around us.
There were 40,289 there today. Actually, Richard, let's not forget that.
Seems as I don't know. Either they've moved around the ground, or they're all gone at the south stand, or whatever. I don't know, but no, I just think it. Lots. I'm sure we've probably won on XG, for those chances in the first half at least. That's what matters. They had a couple of sniffs, but I didn't think they would. As time went on, I thought they're just going to get in late. They're going to get a late goal here, but they weren't that great. For the supposed quality that they got in the team, they just weren't at it. And I think after about 10 minutes I thought we've got to win this game. I think it's one of those games where the result was probably more important than the performance, but if we've not got the result, at least we've got the performance. That's something. We're running out of games now, we're just seeing the season out, but would like
for
to
a young team
high.
That matters. It does matter ending the season on a high, and it does matter kind of going forward for these lads. Like it shows that potentially Dodsey's 48 hours of refusing to talk to them and silence, is it a good tactic? Has it worked? Have the lads therefore wanted to perform for him? I mean, it's
Well, I mean, that they should know. They should have known, like, individually.
Yeah.
There wasn't up to it. Collectively, definitely wasn't up to it on Monday. So, maybe not that much that Dodds needed to say. You know, he kept faith with the team, made a couple of changes, of course. Your Callum Styles dropped.
Why was he dropped? I mean, genuinely... Everything else aside, and I know that I think Callum, and there's been all this joking about Callum Styles, would Callum Styles have done worse of a job than Leo Yelder today? And
I think maybe,
was it worth unsettling the back four by bringing someone new in when you had, like, Elise on the bench? Was he the substitute you make there?
I think they might have been anticipating more physical threat from them. I know they had a big number nine, and maybe they were expecting a little bit more of an aerial battle.
Yeah.
And that Hjelds does kind of give you that ability from, as in he's tall.
He's a tall man.
If you're a tall man on the pitch, the ball's going to hit you enough.
You would have given us that ability there.
I suppose, yeah.
We could have played you there today.
Yeah.
And you would have given them that aerial threat.
I'm no left back. I have played left back.
Leo Hjelder. Is what you're saying.
That's probably a good thing that I'm not. But, yeah, maybe they expected that. I don't know. Right.
They were targeting it's that side.
Yeah.
Bristol targeted there, and it did make me wonder, did they watch Monday's game and think Callum Styles is a weak link?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Saw what I didn't see, and we need to target that side. And even when kind of our playing style changed, they still decided to target that side. But one thing that I wasn't worrying, but again felt from a bit today, Dan Neil, a bit quiet. Not bad, not calling him out, but he wasn't.
Maybe it just didn't work. Didn't work for him. I thought Echo was good.
Echo had a really good game.
So there was lots of stuff that was coming off that was decent, but it just never, nothing seemed to stick, nothing seemed to kind of come off.
Yeah.
But that said, we had a good few chances. I think he could allow Neil a 5 or a 6 day, because he's been doing 7s and 8s and 9s all year.
He's been carrying us for a lot of the. Yeah. So it is. I think that's more what it was, is that he is one of our best players. Like, he is. So when he even has, like, a 5 or a 6 day, it does show up a bit more.
I'm concerned. Well, not concerned. It's a little bit...
Losing sleep at night.
Yeah, like, just keeping me awake. The fact that you've got Mason Burstow and you've got Callum Styles both on loan... Just not featuring. No, like, Burstow played in the reserves during the week. Nowhere near starting. Nowhere near coming off the bench. And you think, why are you here? What's the point? Mm-hmm. With Styles, I know there's definitely a view to making that a long term acquisition.
Thank goodness.
But you don't know if they played him at left back. He wasn't signed as a left back.
No.
And there was thoughts of him being a centre midfielder, could play the Corrie Evans role, an attacking midfielder. He's played kind of all of those positions without really kind of showing us.
Yeah.
And not really improving the team.
Yeah.
You've got to think, what's the point?
Yeah.
There's now, what, five games left?
Yeah. It's one of those things where we've gone and signed someone on loan from Barnsley, which still blows my mind.
Yeah,
like we shouldn't be signing people on loan from Barnsley.
It's an odd one because obviously there's like he was playing for them in the Championship and he is technically a better player.
He played apparently, according to Malcolm Fallow, he is my source for this fact. Apparently, he played the full 90. When Hungary had that 4-0 win over England, apparently he, and that was like a full strength England team, and he played the full 90. But I think he played it in midfield rather than defense, which shows, doesn't it?
That is a problem, and you know we saw it last season and years before that with Lyndon Gooch. You think where is his best position?
Yeah,
and you have it a little to a lesser extent with Lugo 9. Like if you are a utility player, you do kind of run the risk of just being dragged around the pitch, and you don't make any single position your own. I still don't know where Callum Styles' position is. They should be somewhere closer to knowing that by the end of the season if they want to make a decision on him. If not, you know, it's just another, oh well, he can play here, here and here and here, but he doesn't actually own a position. We've got quite a lot of those players. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but
it means it. I think it gives us, having a lot of those players, it gives us a false sense of depth in the squad. And going into the transfer window, and I'm sure we'll have kind of more conversations about this when next season starts up again and as we get closer to that summer transfer window. But for me, having those kind of players who can play anywhere on the pitch, you've got that false kind of idea that, oh no, but we've got someone who can cover there, and it's like, yeah, but that's not their specialty. We're forcing players into positions they don't want to play in. I mean, like, you look at the likes of Elliot Embleton, for example. Elliot Embleton's played left back, he's played midfield. When he comes back, what position are we going to play him in? Are we still going to have him? It's a question, yeah. But it gives us that false just having a dog break.
Welcome.
It gives us a false sense of depth. Yeah, he did not seem happy. But it gives us that false sense of depth, and that can be quite a dangerous thing at times.
Right. I think when you bring loan players in, they've got to be improving your team. It hasn't happened certainly with Mason Burstow. When you look at Ahmad last season, like, yes, of course, he improved the team. He'd improve many teams. But our loan acquisitions this season have been shocking.
Yeah.
I think it's just indicative of poor recruitment. But I weirdly enjoyed today because of the chaos factor with the wind. I thought something hilarious was going to happen. It did actually happen when the steward was hit in the head by the ball from Trey Hume.
Nice.
When he belted the ball out of the play and it just curled perfectly onto the back of this guy's head, and he was rubbing it for a good while, so it was quite funny.
I enjoyed when the advertising board fell down in the north stand.
Did it?
Yeah, in like the northeast corner towards it, one of the advertising boards fell over, and then they had to get like the men with drills round to come and back up. Did you guys not see this?
We
you like sit in the you were too busy looking at the roof. So there's all the way our stadium's falling apart, but thank goodness we've got a multi-million pound investment come in to sort out Richard's roof.
My roof.
Well, if it rains, that's right on top of us. That's like, it's gonna be
not really.
You're gonna have to bring an umbrella to the next
person in the stand.
Or a poncho. You could go for a poncho. I think ultimately, if we're going to sum up the game, it's one of those that's frustrating but promising in the beginning of the season. We've got the dog back. Good. Dogs will pull you into pubs against your will. Yeah, Matt does say that. It's one of those that's frustrating but promising at the beginning of the season. At this point in the season, it's just a nice day out.
I think if you
where you don't lose 5-1.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's an improvement on last week. That's one thing. I think if you want to be really cynical about it, it's a game that we should be winning.
Yeah.
But at the same time, coming from a 5-1 defeat with a young squad, there was some kind of reaction, and that's got to be a positive. But yeah,
I did think I was going to get my Dan Ballard header at the beginning.
Yeah, look,
like I was out of my seat. I was fully prepared to go on the pitch for that. But unfortunately, very beginning of the match, getting dragged off because Dan Ballard has scored a header. I predicted it earlier. Have you ever listened to Wise? No, right, well, this won't make any sense. Anyway, I don't know how this is going to sound back, because we had the phone call interruption, we've had a dog.
I'm hoping it comes through really clearly.
Yeah, I am, because it was a lovely bit of real life. I should just followed him with the phone recording device. Just follow random people around Sunderland and put it out as a podcast. Yeah, I'm sure there'd be no legal ramifications of that. If we didn't say their names, we can probably. Yeah, exactly. It was just a passerby. Head over to our socials. There's always stuff out on there. X, Instagram, Threads. Richard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Richard's favourite social media platform of...
The newsletter's on the break.
Yeah.
Well, last time I sent the newsletter out, I started getting, messages back saying this is potential malware that I'm sending, because I needed to tick a box and then pay a little bit more to get some kind of authentication.
So what you're saying is don't open the newsletter because it might...
Well, it was going into people's spam filters, but it was also saying at the top, this may contain malware if you click any of the links. The entire point is it for you to click some links. But...
It has, for me, to be fair, every time, no matter what I do, including adding, Wise Men Say to my contacts list, every single time it goes into my spam folder. There is nothing I can do to change that.
Nespresso can email me every day of the week, and that doesn't go in my spam filter.
I get
top of my emails every morning. I get an email from Nespresso.
I get 4 or 5 emails a day asking me if I've co-written papers from academia.eu because I once used it to reference a paper or something something when I was at uni. So now I get E.McCabe, is this you who wrote this on microorganisms of cells? And it's well, obviously not. Anyway, we've gone into a massive tangent here.
Next edition of what's in your email?
We just do a podcast. Well, I have 6. This is going to get people angry. I have 6,300 and something unread emails on my iPhone app. I've had to turn off the notification bubble at the top of it because it was stressing me out too much.
2041.
Ella's on 2040. How many unread emails do you have, Richard?
I use the Gmail app, so...
Oh, you're not about that Apple?
You're not about Apple.
Apple, yeah. 99 plus. I think the plus is doing a lot of heavy lifting because I think it's in the thousands.
That's the thing. But once you get to a certain point, you can't... It's pointless to delete. It's like throwing deck chairs off the Titanic.
Yeah.
You might as well just live with it at this point. And on that note, thanks for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.